Ask you to take your Bibles and turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. And as you make your way to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter number 22, as we focus on this particular series of meetings and us desiring to be revived of the Lord and, as Brother Titus brought out, renewed. It is important for us to do so. Sometimes we need to be refocused. We need some clarity in what we're doing here on this earth. And we need to be challenged. And so this morning I hope that I'll be able to encourage you and yet challenge you as well. Now, we are all odd in our own sense, aren't we? We are. We're weird people, okay? Everybody has their own little oddities and that type of thing. My wife is shaking her head. Yeah, especially Brother Mel. You think that we're odd preachers. Look at the things that the Lord told Ezekiel to do. And I'm thankful, you know, I joke about being called to Illinois. I'm thankful that the Lord hasn't called me to do some of the things that Ezekiel had to do in his ministry. But notice here, one very familiar passage of Scripture in Ezekiel chapter number 22, verse number 30. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse number 30. We're going to read this one passage of Scripture. Ezekiel 22, verse number 30. "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." This afternoon, or rather this morning, I would like to preach on this subject. The title of the message is "Just One Man, Just One Servant." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You today. We thank You for this time we've been able to spend in Your house up to this point. Lord, we rejoice in the preaching of the Word of God, the truths of the Word of God. And Lord, we thank You that You are lifted up and clearly exalted and glorified in our presence. And Lord, we owe all to You. The spiritual survival that we experience is all due to You. We thank You for keeping us and preserving us. And Lord, You've left us here for a purpose. We are to be Your servants. We are to be involved in Your purposes and plans here on this earth. Lord, it's very possible that we have gotten away from Your will and Your purpose for us in our lives. Lord, help us to be challenged this morning. Help us to see that You are desirous of just one servant that can make so much difference in Your work. Lord, help us this morning. Speak to our hearts. We'll be careful to give You all praise, honor, and glory, for You alone richly deserve it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just one man, just one servant. We're focusing here now in this portion of the conference and the Institute on challenging you to focus on what it is that God has for you by way of service, by way of purpose for your life. And I want you to be encouraged this morning to have a laser focus to be the servant that God desires you to be. Now, the term man in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 30 is a generic term. It doesn't just refer to the male gender. This message is not just directed to our men this morning. It's directed at each one of us. Just one servant. Ezekiel was chosen by God to prophesy to Judah during the Babylonian captivity. This text verse shows God's people hurling headlong into captivity. They were doing nothing about it. They were content in the way that they were going. Ezekiel records that God is searching for just one man to stand up and make a difference for God's people. All it would have taken was just one man, just one servant. Sadly, Ezekiel records that that servant was not to be found. As we look to moving forward in our Christian walk, I want to challenge you to be the servant, the man, the woman that God wants you to be. In investigating Ezekiel's message in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 30, and we think about just one man, just one servant, I want us to notice three components of Ezekiel's plea for just one servant. Notice we find, first of all, the search for just one servant. Secondly, we note the service of just one servant. And then thirdly, we can't help but recognize the significance of just one servant. Notice Ezekiel's plea in verse 30 of chapter 22 for just one servant. It begins with the search for just one servant. Notice in verse 30, the Bible says, "And I sought for a man among them." Ezekiel is delivering the message that God had given him. These are dire times for the people of Israel. These are dire times for God's chosen people. And God is issuing the call, just one servant. Notice that this search for just one servant had so much to do with the conditions of the land. God has allowed His people to be taken captive by Babylon. Ezekiel was a prophet of the captivity. You know, God's people are a lot like we are in the United States today. We boldly and rashly say, it can never reach our shores. We'll never have another 9/11. And before 9/11, we said, we'll never have another Pearl Harbor. And the people of the United States have been negligent in listening to the issues that God has used by preaching the Word of God and desiring to call this nation back to a righteous and a moral stand before Him. And if there ever was somebody who had a love for our military, I'm that guy. And I still, to this day, work with our military. And yet our military cannot rescue us. Our military cannot save us when God is determined to bring judgment upon a land. Israel said, we're the chosen of God's people. God will never allow us to be taken captive. And time and again, read the book of Judges. God's people rested in the land. And they couldn't stand that rest, and so they rebelled against God. And God brought retribution upon them by allowing them to be oppressed by their oppressors. And then the people repented, and God raised up judges to deliver them, and He restored them. And here we find in the time of Ezekiel the prophet, the condition of the land that led to God allowing His people to be taken captive. Think about all of the sins that were prevalent in the land of Judah during that time frame and see if it doesn't make the application of the United States today. Murder, idolatry, contempt of parents, oppression of the stranger, fatherless and the widows, negligence of holy things, profaning the Sabbath, tail-bearing, lewdness, uncleanness of all types of sorts that we shouldn't even mention in mixed company, bribery, usury, extortion, and dishonest gain. This was the condition of the land. And God looks down upon His people, whom He marvelously redeemed by His own hand, and He sends Ezekiel in search of just one servant who would stand up and make a difference. Notice the condition of the land is much like our land today. Did you ever think you'd see the day where the First Lady would be condemned for reciting the Lord's Prayer? And I don't care whether it's Melania Trump or Martha Washington. Is that a bad thing, beloved? Did you ever think you'd see the day in the United States where the former president would be more concerned about transsexuals being able to use different bathrooms than he would be about the national security of our nation? And these are still issues today. We have lost our mind in this country. And I look at the election and I echo what Brother Titus said last night. I'm thankful that Hillary Clinton wasn't elected president. I'm thankful that we don't have a criminal in the White House. You say, well, you don't know about Donald Trump. Well, I know about Hillary Clinton. And I know what she did, and I know what she did because I work in that field. I know what she did was criminal, and it had an effect upon our national security. It compromised our national security. And for somebody like that to be the president of the United States that is above the law, just to me was unthinkable. So I praise God for that. Now you say, well, I'm not a Donald Trump supporter. You ought to read the Bible and you ought to read about a guy by the name of Jehu. You remember Jehu? Jehu was an ungodly king that God used to implement godly practices in the land. God can use Donald J. Trump. And I pray that he has an impact in leadership on this nation and the morality of this nation. I pray that he's successful in defunding Planned Parenthood. I pray that he's successful in making a difference, because this land is in so many ways in the same condition of the land of Judah that we read about in the book of Ezekiel. Notice the search for just one servant. And I sought for a man among them. We see the condition of the land, but look at the criteria of the Lord. The Lord says through the prophet Ezekiel, and I sought for a man among them. He sought for a man among them. He wasn't looking to bring in an outsider. He sought for somebody in the midst of the people that could stand up and make a difference. What was the condition of the people in the land during that time? Well, the prophets, the priests, the princes, and the people were all corrupt. Look at verses 25 through 29 here in Ezekiel chapter 22. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 25, notice, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. No confidence in the prophets. Are the priests any better? Look at verse 26. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. You know what some preachers are doing today? They're calling the righteous wicked and the wicked righteous. You ought to think about that, beloved. You ought to think about what the preacher says when he gets up in the pulpit. You ought to think about who the preacher associates with. You ought to think about whose side the preacher's taking. Because the priests profaned the holy things of God. And they put no difference between the clean and the unclean. Notice verse 27, the princes. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood. and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, "Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken." Well, how on earth are the people going to react when the prophets, the priests, and the princes are exhibiting such poor leadership? When they're setting the tone for the land, how are the people going to react? Look at verse 29. "The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully." These were dire times for God's people. And God is using the prophet Ezekiel to stand up and issue the call for just one man, just one servant. How many times in the work and service of God do God's people say, "Well, someone else will do it. Someone else will get up and take a stand. The preacher will do it. Or someone else will do it." And I'm here to say this morning that God is speaking to us individually, and He's saying, "I'm looking for that one servant that will stand up and make a difference." Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse number 4 reads, "O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord." There was none that would stand up and be that servant. What is your excuse today for not being that servant? You say, "Well, I'm too old." You're not too old. You're breathing. Don't be like Barzillai the Gileadite when David said, "You come with me, and you're going to eat at the king's house." And what did Barzillai the Gileadite say? "I'm 80 years old. I'm too old. Get someone who's younger." God isn't looking for someone who's younger. He's looking for you. Whether you're young, whether you're older, whether you have a college degree or you don't have a college degree, God is looking for that one servant. He's searching. Now, I'm not this morning trying to make it out as though God is desperate, because God's going to get His man. But don't you want to be involved in the blessings of God? Don't you want to be used of God? What are we here for, beloved, if we're not here to be just that one servant? Notice this first component of Ezekiel's plea for just one servant. It's the search for just one servant. But notice, secondly, the second component, the service of just one servant. What would this man that Ezekiel was looking for, what would he do? What does the servant do? Notice in verse number 30, "that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap." That's the service that God is looking for. He wanted someone that would stand up and make up the hedge and stand in the gap. How do we apply this to our service today? Well, God is looking for that one servant who will call to repentance. Because notice, the hedge here is the wall. That's literally what He's talking about. It's the wall. And the wall had been broken down by the gross sinfulness of Israel. And it needed to be rebuilt again. How would it be rebuilt? It would be rebuilt by somebody standing up and proclaiming the condition of the land and calling God's people to repentance. That's what the servant does. The images of God looking for someone to lead His people to repentance, to stand up and restrain them from sin and reprove them for their sinfulness. We don't like that kind of preaching, do we? We like to have our ears tickled. We don't like to hear about our sin. And I can't tell you how many times I've had somebody in the ministry, and I've only been pastoring for 14 years, and I can tell you the number of times that I've had somebody come to me and say, I'm offended, you were using that directly against me. You preached that directly against me. No. No, God knows what you need. I didn't. God does. And so, God is looking for someone to call His people to repentance. And you and I need to understand if we're going to be that servant, we have to be separate. Separation is something that isn't practiced today, is it? But I still believe that the Bible teaches biblical separation. We ought not to go where the world goes. We ought not to do what the world does. We ought not to watch what the world watches and read what the world reads and listen to what the world listens to. We ought to be different. Didn't God here in verses 25 through 29 rebuke His people because the priests had made no difference between the clean and the unclean? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. God is looking and searching for just that servant. What is that servant going to do? What's the service of that servant? It is to call to repentance. When's the last time we made a difference? You ever think about that? When is the last time we really made a difference? The book of Jude verses 22 and 23, there's only one chapter in the book of Jude, but in Jude verses 22 and 23, the Bible reads there, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, Jude is not trying to teach that we save people eternally. We save their souls. But when we see a brother or sister offend or sin, we ought to restore one with a spirit of weakness. We ought to reprove and rebuke. We ought to be calling our nation to repentance today. We ought not to be quiet when discussions are had about the moral condition of our nation today. The service of just one servant. A call to repentance. That the wall would be repaired. A cry to the Redeemer. Notice here in verse number 30, it is that one would make up the hedge and stand in the gap. The gap here literally means a breach. There's been a breach in the wall. Sin made a gap between God and His people. And God is holding His people accountable. He's coming to requite. You and I ought to be interceding for the people of God. You and I ought to be interceding for this nation. Did you pray during the election? Do you pray for the president? Do you pray that God would save the president? And I got to tell you, I like Mike Pence. And I wouldn't be upset to see Mike Pence the president. But God hasn't chosen that for our nation right now. But what are we doing? Are we interceding? Are we going to the Redeemer on behalf of our nation, on behalf of God's people? What does the Bible say about His promise if we do so? In James chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible reads, and again a very well-known passage of Scripture, James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Just as Brother Titus preached, God is limitless. God can do wonders in our land. Do you believe that God is done with the United States? Can God bring revival in this land? Can God turn this nation back to Him? We got to confess our faults one to another. What's it like to talk to somebody that has no faults? How far do you get? Now, they have faults. They just won't admit their faults. We're supposed to confess our faults one to another and pray one for another. Why? That ye may be healed. See, I think God was using Ezekiel to issue the call in searching for that one servant. That one servant would make up the hedge and stand in the gap and plead with God on behalf of His people that God might have mercy on His people. We can make a difference. Notice the third component of Ezekiel's plea for just one servant. We see the significance of just one servant. Notice in Ezekiel chapter 22, in verse number 30, the Bible says, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Notice God is saying, He's seeking for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before Me for the land, that I should not destroy it. God's searching for that one servant that will be used of Him for the accomplishment of God's purpose, that He should not destroy the land. A lot of times our problems in service are because we're concerned about our own purpose and what we want to accomplish. And you say, well, man, you know, you're pastoring this church down there, and you got 9, 8, 9, 10 people, and you know, aren't you looking to go somewhere else where there's more people? No. What is God's purpose? If His purpose is to be where there's 8, 9, 10 people, am I trying to supplant God's purpose with my purpose? How do you know that God doesn't intend for a church to stay small? We want churches to grow. But it isn't always God's intent, is it? I heard one man say, and I thought this was brilliant, and I might have shared this with you before, but you know, you look at the condition in our land today, and you look at religion. And maybe the question we should ask is not, why is your church so small? Maybe the question we should ask is, why is your church so big? Why do you have thousands of people? What are you preaching? Are you preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Just what is it that you're preaching? Now let me ask you this. In these mega churches that we see today, if we really preached the truths of the Word of God in those places, do you think they'd have 50,000? 30,000? 3,000? 1,000? What's our purpose? What are we trying to accomplish? Try to be used of the Lord for the accomplishment of His purposes. Whatever the Lord desires. The Lord wasn't looking for someone that wanted to make a name for themselves. The Lord wasn't looking for somebody to come up and say, look at how great of a leader I am. The Lord was searching for one servant that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge that the Lord might not destroy the land. Notice, this should be encouragement for us to be that one servant. You say, I want to be used of God. What's holding you back? What are you waiting for? What is it that you need to be that one servant? What does God need to do in your life to make you that one servant? What I'm saying is this. Sometimes we need to stop talking and start doing. Sometimes we need to just stand up and say, God, I don't know how You're going to use me, but I want to be used of You. Here am I, Lord. Send me. That's encouraging. You don't need to go to seminary. You don't have to have X amount of letters after your name. Study the Word of God. Be, as Brother Titus said this morning, ready to not yield in an improper manner, but yield in a proper manner unto the Lord. To be submissive unto Him. To be used by Him. My favorite president since I've been alive was President Ronald Reagan. He's the first guy I voted for when I was old enough to vote. Yes, I am that old. He wasn't perfect. He wasn't perfect, but man, if we had some Ronald Reagans today. And on President Reagan's tombstone, it reads this: I know in my heart that what is right will always eventually triumph, and there is purpose and worth to each and every life. Now, if we apply that in the sense of God's purpose for our lives, God has a purpose for each and every one of us here this morning. God didn't save us to walk around and be wondering generalities and waiting on others to be involved in the work and service of God. He saved us to say, I want to be just that one servant. I want to be used of God where I'm at to do the work and service of God. Is that your attitude this morning? Your life is not in vain. God has a purpose for your life. E. Paxton Hood, who was a Congregationalist preacher, wrote a booklet in 1865 entitled Dark Sayings on a Harp. Now, that doesn't sound very encouraging, but listen to what he wrote. The hand of Jesus is the hand which rules our times. He regulates our life clock. Christ for and Christ in us. My times are in His hand. My life can be no more in vain than was my Savior's life in vain. You know what that focus is? Is that we have a purpose in our lives. What are we doing? A guy surrenders to preach when he's 35 years old. He's almost 60. And nothing's happened. What are you waiting for? Now, I'm not talking about getting ahead of God, you understand. But be used of God where you're at. Do what God has called you to do. Be that one that would stand up and make a difference. Have you ever heard of the 212 degrees extra degree? Have you heard of that? At 211 degrees, water is hot. At 212 degrees, it boils. It's one extra degree that makes the difference. With boiling water, you get steam. And with steam, you can power a locomotive. Just 1 degree is the difference. Just one servant. God is searching. He sought for a man to among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. I want to encourage you this morning. You can be that servant. Be what God wants you to be. Notice the, as we think about the significance of just one servant, and we bring the message to a conclusion, notice the emphasis on being that one servant. Do you know that throughout Scripture, God emphasizes just one servant? Do you know that how many times in Scripture God is speaking to us through His Word and He says, here's just one guy. Here's just one woman. I use them to accomplish my purpose. Think about our families. How's your family life? How's your relationship between husband and wife? How's your relationship with your children? Is your family life what it ought to be? You say, well, quite frankly, we're struggling. Be that one servant. Put the pride aside and say, I'm going to step up and be that one servant that stands in the gap and makes up the hedge that our family would be what it should be. You remember in the Bible, there was one guy that said, I'm going to be that servant. And my family is going to be what God wants it to be. He didn't look to what everyone else was doing. He didn't wait to test with the family and talk to the family and see what the family wanted to do. No, sir. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was just one man. Just one servant. What difference can you make in your families by heeding the call of God? See, because as our families go, go our churches. And as the Lord's churches go, goes our nation. And I think that there's a direct correlation between the breakdown in our land and the breakdown of our churches and the breakdown of our families. Be that one servant. Speaking of our churches, who's going to be that one servant in the Lord's churches that say, you know what, I want to be used of God. I don't know what God's going to do with me, but He's got a purpose. There's a significance of just one servant. I want to be that servant. Moses was just one servant. Now, I know that Moses wasn't in the church economy. I totally agree with what Brother Titus preached last night, that the Lord's church, the New Testament institution, was established during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was established before the day of Pentecost. I don't believe the church existed in the Old Testament. But we find applications. Moses, as the leader, was willing to be that one servant. Listen to Psalms 106, verse 23. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Just one servant. Ladies, do you feel left out? You shouldn't. You see, there was a woman by the name of Esther who initially didn't want to be that one servant. And Mordecai spoke. Said, you know, God's going to bring deliverance one way or the other. And Esther said, if I die, I die. Mordecai says, how do you know that God hasn't brought you to the place that you are today for such a time as this? What are we waiting for? What goals do we want and need to accomplish before we stand up and look at the conditions in our land and say, we love this land that God has blessed us with. We've been free to serve and worship our Creator as God has chosen us to do. And I want to be just that servant that stands in the gap and makes up the hedge. In society, oh, how we need just one servant. You remember we were talking last night about the election, and we said, can you believe that Donald Trump is president? I still can't believe it. And there were 17 Republican candidates that started out in the primary. And I got to tell you, in the primary, I didn't vote for Donald Trump. I figured that he would quickly exit. Where were the candidates that we could vote for? Oh, brother, Christians shouldn't be politicians. Well, you're going to cede that to the world? Oh, Christians can't survive in politics today. How do you know? We have ceded so much to the world. When maybe, again, as Brother Titus said, maybe we've made excuses for our lack of faith. Maybe it's because we're ashamed to stand up and say, this is what we believe, and I'm going to run for office, or I'm going to do whatever I can to have a positive impact. And we don't want people to really know that we believe that. So, you know, hey, we'll leave it to someone else. Who's going to do it? Who's going to make up the hedge and stand in the gap. Where were the candidates that we could vote for? Now, there were a couple that I thought had some potential. But who's going to do it? You remember a guy in Scripture, one of my favorite Bible characters, a guy by the name of Shamgar. Shamgar was a judge of Israel. God raised up Shamgar to be a judge of Israel. And Shamgar was a bad guy. I don't mean in a negative sense. I mean he was a tough guy. And he slew 600 men, 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Big old stick that they use with the little sharp end to kick the oxen in the ankles so that they'd stay on course. Shamgar wasn't looking around and saying, well, someone else will do it. Shamgar said, I want to be that servant. And he stood up and slew 600 Philistines with an ox goad, and God said, there's the guy I'm looking for. He's the servant. And Shamgar judged Israel and delivered Israel. Well, we could go on as business as usual. Maybe he's almost done. Maybe he's done preaching. We'll just go back to business as usual. This is a solemn warning that Ezekiel issued. He's searching for a man. I sought a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. Oh, how sad. But I found none. What will God find in our midst? Are you malleable? Are you moldable? Are you clay in the hand of the potter to be used by Him? God's looking for just one man, just one servant. We can be that servant. We see Ezekiel's plea, the search, the service, and the significance. I encourage you, be that servant. Brother Wayne.